Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is my friend Greg Sheldon. And Greg Sheldon is here to talk about the Albany Victory Gardens. So, Greg, you own that. Tell us your relationship to the Albany Victory Gardens.
The Albany Victory Gardens is actually a project of the Edens Rose Foundation, and I happen to be the program coordinator.
Okay. So what does the Albany Victory Gardens, what's it all about?
The Albany Victory Gardens is a community food system project. Even though the name Gardens is in the title, it's a little bit of a misnomer. We focus more on capacity building and program-intensive community development that takes place in a garden, as opposed to your traditional, like hobby garden, or you know your pay-to-plant community gardens that are run by third-party organizations that exist outside of the community.
So, how long have you been doing this?
We've done programs like this overseas over the past decade, but this particular one, based over on First Street, just began at the end of last year. Actually, we didn't plan on planting last year, but there was such an overwhelming show of support from the community. People just started coming out and wanting to get involved. We were able to squeeze out one crop at the end of last season, and 12 of the families that were growing here, it was the first time that they had ever planted a seed or been involved in any kind of gardening activity.
So how did you get interested in gardening?
Gardening as a virtue of necessity, you know, working with a lot of the different cultures where we've been in India and South America, gardening is just part of the agrarian aspect of the culture. It's a basic needs access issue. So when we look at First Street, when we look at West Hill or any area considered to be a food desert, we start seeing the same relationship to basic needs access and fresh produce that we see in really third world countries. So the program for us took the sort of center spoke, if you will, was about creating access to fresh produce for people who live in the community, but in a different way. Most of our programs focus on taking culturally pertinent activities and making them economically viable. When we think about economic development, we don't think about convention centers. We think about microeconomic development and putting the community in the driver's seat. So one of the end game focuses of this program is to have a garden-based market that's established on Clinton Avenue, where families who've learned how to grow their own food and are participating in our program can sell the food that they grow, keeping the food in the community and the money in the community. So this was a big focus for us, and this is how it ties in the work we've done before and what we wanted to do now. It was actually me and my childhood best friend, Joe Schaller, who both are, you know, our families have been in the city of Albany for generations. His family actually used to own Schaller Farms, you know, many moons ago, which was actually one of the places that housed the Victory Gardens back during the Great War. And him and I are looking around our city and saying, this place, it looks like Flint, Michigan over here in West Hill. We weren't willing to accept that. So we grabbed a couple of shovels and we went out and we went to see what we could do. And that sort of spawned the Albany Victory Gardens project.
So where the Albany Victory Gardens is located, how would you rate the term food desert? Is it a really big problem?
I would say that it's critical. Not being able to have access to fresh produce not only changes how people function on a physical level, but it changes how we function on a social level in communities. the effects of food deserts and the lack of food access and nutritional access in underserved, destabilized, marginalized, low visibility, you know, you pick your title, communities, it's well documented. The USDA has published almost on a yearly basis, you know, these 300-page articles about what's going on here. But I think we see it firsthand as a community. I feel like community social stability, economic stability, real grassroots community development and sustainability all end somewhere on food access and fresh produce.
Do you think there's a huge correlation between young people who are not doing well in school and the foods that they eat?
Again, I don't think that it's something that just I think. This is well-documented scientific fact. And I was having a conversation the other day with David Sors from the district attorney's office, and we were talking about his experience when his team would go in and talk to middle schoolers. And depending on what time of the day they ate, they would get this night and day reaction from the kids. And, you know, after they're exposed to I think they did something where they created like an infusion of nutrient-dense snacks or some such thing. And they had like this night and day response from the kids. The kids were engaged. They were awake. They were interested, and they were activated. So we see it on a community level. The institutions that function for the service of these communities, they see it. Teachers definitely see it, and I think the scientific community has become aware of this as a factor. You know, in kids' ability to function, kids' ability to learn, kids' ability to socialize in positive ways with other kids and their community.
How well known are you at this point?
How what?
Well known. How many people know about you? Yeah. How many people know what you do?
I would say just about everybody in our neighborhood. And when you're dealing with community development, that's where it starts and that's where it ends. I really think that there's an important place for creating community coalition partnerships with other institutions, government entities, and other, you know, other nonprofit organizations and partners. I think it's an important aspect. I think it's necessary. It's crucial. But nothing happens unless the community is in the driver's seat. So even as we began framing around the edges of what we wanted to do with this program, we went door to door. You know, we spent as much time here on site as we could, even before we purchased the properties. We did vision work. We invited people in. Right after we closed on the first lot with the Albany Land Bank, who is an early supporter of our program, first thing we did, barbecue. You know, we brought everybody out. We said, we know what we want to do here, but we'd like to hear from you guys. What would you do if you had unlimited resources? What would you want to see happen here? You know, what seems important? What could be an important use of this place for the community? And we just started making real long-term friends, neighbors, and partners in the community. You know, the ward leader, the county legislative representative from this district, Norma Chapman, actually has her location just one block down First Street from where our garden site is. She was a huge supporter of us. So, you know, Miss Viv, who's a couple houses up, Matthew and his wife and their five children who live across the street, real people in the community are coming together to make this project happen.
One important aspect, I think, is you're not too far from the Honest Way Food Co-op, right? You're just a couple blocks away. and I go into the co-op and I look at the produce prices, and it's like, this is quite substantial. From your perspective, how many of the residents in your area or the area around the Albany Victory Gardens, how many of them shop at Honest Weight?
I do think that there is some sort of cross-pollination between the reach of the co-op and our target market, but I would say that it's limited. And I think it's something that the co-op represents as an opportunity for them in terms of expanding their direct community presence. The co-op seems to cater to more of highway traffic, which is, which is good, because I think by the co-op bringing people into this community, we can continue to expand on and develop on those relationships. We have a very good working relationship with the Honest Weight Food Co-op. They donate us their kitchen scraps that we use in one of our capacity building programs, teaching people in the neighborhood how to compost food and making nutrient-dense soil that we can use for planting. So the co-op is definitely one of our partners. But we'd like to see more access. You know, we would like to see not just people shopping at the co-op from the community, but people selling their produce that's grown here on site to the co-op to reach the co-op's market base. I think we need to stop looking at this community and, what can we offer them at? What can we give them? You know, can we create a community food stamp day? It's like, I really feel like that's the wrong perspective. Enabling the community based on the strengths that they already have and creating access for them that really develops a potential for them to grow on their own merits. That's where we want to see it. We want to see the community not only selling their food through the co-op, but we would love to see some of the highway traffic that the co-op gets coming over here onto First Street and creating more of a dynamic interaction with our garden partners. When we have a market set up on Clinton Avenue and people can come who are interested in local produce and buy at the point of origin. Local's great. Point of origin is better. When you can buy it from the hand that grew it and you know that this is this direct trade relationship, I think it becomes fulfilling not only for the purchaser and the end consumer of the produce, but also the grower, and really speaks to the unity, the community unity that we hope to develop through this program.
So you're having, today is Wednesday the 23rd, May 23rd. You're having a fundraiser tomorrow evening at the Low Beat, correct? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is really exciting, actually. This is going to be Dylan 77 birthday bash, and there's a bunch of really great local acts that are coming out to do a benefit concert for the Albany Victory Gardens. Tying the arts together with dynamic community programs that create access to basic necessities, that's what the Eden's Rose Foundation is about. So being able to do it in our hometown, having this musical event, again, you know, tomorrow's Thursday the 24th, I think it kicks off at like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Having the fundraiser happen one block up from our gardens, because we're at Quail and First, and the Low Beat really is at, Quail and Central. So it's such a neighborhood vibe, if I could say that. And we expect to see a big turnout. The music is going to be great. This is not like, me and my buddies jamming on the guitar and trying to raise awareness. These are real serious long-term local musicians that are well-known and really experts at their craft. So this is going to be a treat for everyone, I think.
Who's going to be performing?
We have a poster posted right now on our Facebook page, which is Albany Victory Gardens. So anybody who's on Facebook that goes to Albany Victory Gardens you'll be able to see right there. There's more acts on there than I could list while I'm on the phone with you now. But I really invite everybody to come check it out, see who's playing. And while you're at our page at the Albany Victory Gardens Facebook page, send us a message. And if you want to get involved in any way, we'd love to have you.
I think what you've said in the past 16 minutes is very powerful. And I'm sure that there are many people who might not be able to come to your event tomorrow who want to donate to what you do. So do you take donations, and how can they get them to you?
I really appreciate you asking that question. Yeah, we know not everybody is local, and we know not everybody's going to be able to make it out to the music. We feel like everybody has something to offer their community, and the first thing that we want from people is personal involvement. So I want to extend the invitation to people. If you've never grown before, you can come here and learn how to grow. If you're a master gardener, then come here and take on a partner in the community and help pass that that knowledge and that wisdom and the tradition along. But for people who want to make a financial donation, we really are doing this on no budget at all, using reclaimed materials from within the community and developing it, you know, hands-on with community partners. So any financial donations will be very much appreciated. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so any donations would be a tax-deductible donation, and they can do that right through the Albany Victory Gardens Facebook page. There should be a donate button right on the page. You go to Albany Victory Gardens, click donate, and I think you get to put in whatever amount you want. It has to be at least a dollar, and it goes through PayPal, so it's a secure platform, and all of the money that's donated through that page to this program goes directly to this program. So the Eden's Rose Foundation, which is the parent of the project, will not be appropriating or accessing that fund for any administrative use or any other projects. When people donate through the Albany Victory Gardens page, every cent will end up here in the West Hill.
So we talked about the Albany Victory Garden and the parent program. If it's 100% successful, what do you envision your organization accomplishing in the city of Albany?
I think what we would accomplish is the creation of a model. We don't see ourselves here long-term, but we want to see the project here long-term. If we can get to a 100% success point, that would be us stepping away from the project and turning it over to the community partners that really build it. If we can get to that point where the thing can be totally self-sustaining, and a model that can be reproduced either in other areas of the city or in other locations around the country, I think that would be our 100% success point.
So we talked about donating. If somebody wants to know more about it, wants to get involved, who supports what you're doing, is there any other resource besides Facebook that they could reach you?
Yeah, they can always reach us by email, which is albanyvictorygardens@gmail.com. We do have a website, although we could definitely use some tech support if anybody out there listening is web or tech savvy and can help us get that a little more polished. But you can reach us there at www.albany.garden. It's pretty cool. Instead of a .com, it's a .garden. So we are albany.garden. You can reach us through the website, or anybody can come down and visit us. We're always here at 456 First Street, usually every day between 8 and noon with our growing recovery program. We have a half a dozen guys that are involved in a sort of like a therapeutic gardening / restorative justice program. That are doing volunteer hours over here, and it's a great thing to be involved in. We really welcome anyone.
Greg, this is really terrific, and what you said is inspiring. So during the course of the summer? Can you come on with the growing season? Can you come on again to talk about your progress?
I would love to, and hopefully there's a lot to demonstrate. Really, it depends on what level of involvement we continue to see from the community, and that doesn't just mean the neighborhood. Really, you know, your community of listeners, people who care about Albany and where the city's going as a direction. We've gotten a ton of support from Mayor Kathy Sheehan. She was one of the early supporters that came out and helped push for us to get approved for the purchase of these lands from the land bank. You know, the local representatives, Norma Chapman, the ward leader over here, Jamel Robinson, and everybody in the city of Albany, DGS. I mean, everybody is kind of pulling together to make this happen. Well, you know, we're hoping to develop more partnerships with the water department, and we see this as a great networking opportunity to bring the institutions in our city together to start focusing on action and cooperative activities to overcome some of the obstacles we see. If we continue to see that level of support, I would love to come back on and tell you some of the huge successes that we will hopefully have manifested this year.
Thanks, Greg. And one more pitch for the fundraising event tomorrow night.
Definitely. Anybody, please come out and see us at the Low Beat. It's going to be tomorrow, the 24th, Thursday, at 7:30, 8 o'clock, a fun-filled night of music. We're going to be giving away T-shirts. Of course, there's going to be birthday cake. We'll have a fundraising table set up where we can demonstrate some of the programs we've done overseas. And we'll be there on site to talk to anyone and answer any questions about the garden program. And, you know, it's a benefit concert, so where else can you have such a good time for such a good cause?
Thanks, Greg. Thank you so much. You have been listening to Greg Sheldon. Now, what is your title in the Albany Victory Gardens? Are you the founder?
You know, honestly, the title, the best title that I could ever hope to have would be Good Neighbor. And if that can be given to me by the participants and the people in our community, then that's the title that I would like to continue with. But my appropriate title for the organization is just Project Coordinator.
Project Coordinator of the Albany Victory Gardens. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Greg, thank you so much for being on, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Cynthia.